Don't you love polls about consumers? It's the business news headlines for Friday, the 15th day of March. Thanks for being here. In other news, we'll check on consumer sentiment last month. We all know that you know it will soon be St. Patrick's Day, and we'll check on its economic impact. Not to be outdone, businesses are ramping up for the total eclipse on April 8th, and we've got details. The lawsuit against the National Association of Realtors is over, and we'll share those results with you. We've got the Wall Street Report, and hey, we need more plumbers. Not kidding. For the interview, you'll hear from Joe Klein about the disaster that is healthcare access. But first, the news.
Insight on Business News and Comment with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International, the premier interpersonal skills, research, and corporate training company. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com. Focus and Find, a high-level, socially responsible search firm helping major corporations in their search for diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Funding also comes from the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, an international organization supporting the new and used agricultural and construction parts industry. Learn more at ntpda.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to this, the Friday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, grateful as always that you're here for us again today. The headline reads, consumers became slightly less optimistic about the economy this month, though they continue to expect inflation to cool further, a potential sign that price increases will keep slowing. But when we look at those slight numbers, it's sort of a stunner. The Associated Press is reporting that the University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index, released on Friday, in a preliminary version, slipped to 76.5 in March. That was barely below February's figure of 76.9. Americans' outlook has essentially remained fixed since January, when it leapt higher. Sentiment is now about halfway between its all-time low reached in June of 2022, when inflation peaked, and its pre-pandemic averages. Friday's consumer sentiment figure follows inflation reports this week that show that for a second straight month, prices rose at a faster pace than is consistent with the Federal Reserve's 2% target. The Consumer Price Index rose 3.2% in February, compared with a year ago, up from 3.1% in January. Yet, the University of Michigan report showed that Americans' outlook for inflation hasn't changed much. Consumers expect inflation over the next year to be about 3%, and that's the same as in the previous month. And over the next 5 to 10 years, they expect inflation to be 2.9%, also unchanged from the past month. While those figures do exceed the Fed's inflation target, they're only slightly higher than the pre-pandemic averages. So this question has to be asked. Is the Fed's target of 2% inflation a pipe dream? Yeah, consumers are still spending, but at a slower rate. Americans picked up their spending a bit in February after pulling back the previous month. But last month's gain was weaker than expected, and January's decline was revised even lower, suggesting that many are growing more cautious with their money. Retail sales rose 0.6% last month after falling a revised 1.1% in January, dragged down in part by inclement weather, according to the Commerce Department's report. February's number was also lifted, in part, by higher gas prices as well as higher auto sales and a rebound in building materials, which were depressed by severe weather in January. Excluding sales from gas stations and auto dealers, sales rose 0.3%. The report also reflects an ongoing spending shift away from goods toward services. The snapshot offers only a partial look at consumer spending and doesn't include many services, including travel and hotel lodging. But the loan service sector, restaurants, registered an uptick of 0.4%. So we got wondering about the economic impact of St. Patrick's Day here in the United States. And because there are numbers for everything, we get to share this with you. The National Retail Federation tells us that U.S. consumers are wild for St. Patrick's Day, with an estimated 162 million Americans planning to celebrate. The retail group predicts total spending to top a record $7.2 billion, or $44.40 per household. Spending is expected to increase 4.3% from a year ago, and get this, 22% more than back in 2022. Not to be outdone by St. Patrick's Day economics, the solar eclipse that will happen on April 8th has businesses climbing on board that bandwagon as well. Expect eclipse-themed beer, jewelry, and ornaments, and oh, by the way, even donuts. The AP is reporting that businesses are ready for the celestial event that will dim skies across a generous path of North America. There are oodles of special eclipse safety glasses for sale, along with T-shirts emblazoned with clever slogans and other souvenirs. Just like the last time the U.S. got a big piece of the total solar eclipse action was back in 2017. Hotels and resorts along the Prime Path are luring in visitors with special packages, and Southwest and Delta are selling seats on eclipse viewing flights. Cities, museums, and parks are staging watch parties to draw in tourists as well as residents. As we get closer to Eclipse Day, there are likely to be more special products and promotions from national brands springing up, like Moon Pie's Eclipse Survival Kit, made up of four mini versions of the chocolate snack and two pairs of Eclipse glasses. Small businesses within the Eclipse's 115-mile-wide path of totality appear to be leading the charge so far. Online shops and local vendors have put together a full array of created limited-edition merchandise, earrings, baby onesies, ornaments, games, banners, and much more. And then there's Sam McNulty, co-founder of Market Garden Brewery in Cleveland, which is in the eclipse path this time and will see nearly 4 minutes of dimmed skies. He has created Totality, an eclipse-themed beer. In the coming weeks, thousands and thousands of cans are set to hit store shelves, McNulty said, adding that they decided to go big because of how rare the event is. Cleveland, by the way, won't be in the path of Totality again for a very long time, at least not until 2444. Have fun. The legal decision is in against a trove of lawsuits aimed at the National Association of Realtors. The AP is reporting that the trade group has agreed to do away with policies that for decades helped set agent commissions, moving to resolve lawsuits that claim the rules have forced people to pay artificially inflated costs to sell their homes. Under the terms of the agreement, the National Association of Realtors also agreed to pay $418 million to help compensate home sellers across the U.S. Home sellers behind multiple lawsuits against the NAR and several major brokerages argued that the trade group's rules governing home sales listed for sale on its affiliated Multiple Listing Service, or MLS, unfairly propped up agent commissions. The rules also incentivized agents representing buyers to avoid showing their clients listings that the seller's broker was offering at a lower commission to the buyer's agent. As part of the settlement, the NAR agreed to no more require a broker advertising a home for sale on MLS to offer any upfront compensation to a buyer's agent. The rule changes leave it open for individual home sellers to negotiate such offers with a buyer's agent outside of the MLS platforms, though the home's seller broker has to disclose any such compensation agreements. The trade group also agreed to require agents or others working with a home buyer to enter into a written agreement with them. That's meant to ensure home buyers know what's going on with their agent and what they'll charge them for their services. The rule changes, which are set to go in effect in mid-July, represent a major change to the way real estate agents have operated going back to the 1990s and could lead to home buyers and sellers negotiating lower agent commissions. It's a big story. Well, Friday was a lousy day for the markets. The Dow was down by 190 points to settle at 38,714, while the Nasdaq fell by 155 points to close Friday afternoon at 15,973, and the S&P 500 was off by 33 points to close at 5117. Wall Street closed out the week with marginal losses after market participants received hotter-than-expected inflation data over the past few days. The focus now turns to the Federal Reserve's second Monetary Policy Committee decision, and that's happening on Wednesday. West Texas Intermediate crude eased a bit on Friday, falling by 26 cents to $81 a barrel, and the yield on the 10-year Treasury was up slightly to 4.308%. And finally, there is this, and this is about the fact that we don't have enough plumbers. According to Bloomberg, a shortage of plumbers in the U.S. threatens to not only delay your leaky sink repair, it's also costing the economy billions of dollars. Put simply, there are not enough new plumbers to replace those heading into retirement. Over the next decade, the number of open jobs for plumbers, pipe fitters, and steam fitters will average about 42,000 each year, and that's according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Contributing to the shortage is the perception that plumbing is a dirty job with long hours. Fixing the problem will take time. It is a generational issue. But the average pay for a plumber is roughly $85,000 a year. And what's great is that you don't really have to go into debt to learn. Many unions have excellent apprentice programs in place. $85,000, now you know. All right, stay with us because we've got a riveting conversation about the failure of our healthcare system. Author and attorney Joe Klein is in to talk about it, and it's important. Also, a reminder that we're back on the air this Sunday at noon Central with News Talk 1540, KXEL, and Insight on Business, the News Hour, Week in Review. And yes, we do stream.